This is the Wednesday, February 27th edition of Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. On this date, 40 years ago, the world's attention was on Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and the village of Wounded Knee. The American Indian Movement, or AIM, heeded a call to protect Native rights and freedom. Supporters stood in solidarity with AIM, both on and off Native soil, and as time went on, more joined. This moment is known as the Wounded Knee Occupation. As the 40th anniversary is observed, we want to know what the Wounded Knee Occupation meant to you. I want to bring in another voice. We have Sherry Smith on the line with us today from Dallas, Texas, and she is the author of Hippies, Indians, and the Fight for Red Power. Welcome to Native America Calling, Sherry.
Thank you.
And Sherry, you just heard, the speech that went across the Oscars. You heard from Laura and the troubles that Native journalists ran into to even be able to cover this properly. And the word still got out there. And this book that you have focuses on just how the word was received outside of the Native circle. And so I think the most important question is, you know, how important is it that this message not only speaks the words of the people, but also that their message gets to the people beyond tribal borders. Sherry?
Yes, it's absolutely critical, and was from a Nine perspective one of the most important things that happened at Wounded Knee. Wounded Knee really represented in some ways the climax of a 10-year period in which very smart, strategic, mostly young Native American activists were creating these spectacles, is one word that's sometimes used, to attract attention of non-Indian people to the problems in Native America. And they were very astute at not only attracting media attention, but tremendous material support behind the scenes from civil rights people like Ralph Abernathy, but many others as well, from progressive churches to hippies and leftists in Berkeley. All across the spectrum, they were able to attract attention from people who needed to learn about what was going on in Indian country and begin to understand some of the basic concepts that actually separated Indians from others. So I think it's less a civil rights issue and more a Native American rights issues, which brings to the public understandings of issues like treaties and treaty rights and sovereignty and self-determination. So Wounded Knee was one of these very important moments when those words are being expressed through the media and people are beginning to have a broader understanding of Indian history and also the proper place of Indians in our nation's sort of government system.
Sure. And Sherry, you know, there's probably somebody sitting out there right now and thinking, you know, why are we even including this kind of voice in this discussion today? You know, the day, the anniversary. What do you think about that? Was it important that this message, not only reach Native people, but beyond that? And how do you feel as being the person who's representing that voice today?
Well, I'm honored to be a part of this program, and I'm listening very carefully to what everybody is saying, and happy to hear that the response so far has been quite positive about what it meant for Native people at the time. But the reality is that Indians then and now remain a minority, a really tiny minority in our country, and in order to achieve the kinds of political goals they were after here, they needed to have help from non-Indian people. It was simply a reflection of the demography and the political reality of the time. And so these leaders, including the AIM leaders and a guy named Hank Adams out in Washington State, really understood that these rights rested in the American political and legal system. And so they had to work through the system to get those rights acknowledged. But they also needed the help of non-Indian people who would support them in many different kinds of ways, including taking their cases. And some of the, of course, there were Indian lawyers, but many other non-Indian lawyers who would help them take these cases to the courts. And also they had to convince Congress and even the Nixon White House that these issues were legitimate and needed to be addressed. So they simply had to have non-Indian allies to help them achieve their goals.